Welcome to the H2Scan podcast, where we bring you research and special guests surrounding all aspects and industries involving hydrogen. Welcome to the show.
Well, Alan, thank you so much for being here and sharing your knowledge with us today. I know you you undoubtedly have an incredible resume and years of experience in transformers and transformer monitoring. You're the professional in this area. What I'd like to do is I'd like to have you take it from here and introduce yourself. Give us a little idea of your background.
That's because if you got it, you'd read my bio and you would not give any voice inflection. And the most important part of my bio is that I've been married for 43 years. Other than that, yeah, I actually retired from SD Myers last year and was asked by a number of people in the electrical industry, in industrial and commercial. There's really nothing about reliability for electrical systems in that industry. So I guess because my new title when I do retire again is going to be Founder Emeritus of the Electric Power Reliability Alliance. And it is an alliance of practitioners, people who actually use power to do things, and that would include, there's a whole smart grid reliability alliance aspect of that that will include utilities. It also includes large industrials. We just did a major thing with data centers and are doing a major working group with Google. So my background has been to bring the best knowledge together. What I'm really about is making sure that the next generation, and I'm not talking about the 20-somethings on their game consoles, I'm talking about the 30 and 40-year-olds that are running these things right now. There's an enormous amount of knowledge that we got to bring to them, but there's also a changing future that we got to make them aware of. And that's all I do. I love it.
I love it too. That is amazing. You are the transformer maintenance professional, in my opinion, based on what I know. So when it comes to transformer maintenance, a DGA sample has been widely used. Is that enough? Is it enough, in your opinion, to just take DGA samples? Or is there value now, and I'm guessing there is based on what you just said, in having more of a 24/7 monitoring in the utility?
So if here's what would have happened 5 years ago. If I told you what I think, I would be killed by the people that pay me, right? And that was, yes, of course, there's a value in taking a chemical DGA. It's also expensive. It's also, boom, it's one point in time. It's the worst way to gather data, one point in time. So then here's what utility did. Well, we will do DGAs every quarter. Then we'll do them every month. And some of our major assets, like GSUs that are a little old, we'll do them every day. But nobody does them every day. Yes, they do, believe it or not. They pull a DGA and run into, in a year, they'll suck all the oil out of that bad boy until online monitoring came along. And then it changed the whole world. But what most people didn't do is understand how to integrate online monitoring with pulling sample DGAs. So you had two data sets. One was real time and one was just a great detail coming out of a lab, a really good lab, much more detail than you might get from online. But online was boom, whether it was every 30 minutes or every day. And the world in the last literally 10 years has dramatically changed. Online DGA monitoring is the cat's meow. If all you're doing is a DGA, I don't care if you're doing it once a week, it's not good enough.
Yeah. And so that's where the value comes, is the plethora of data that you're going to get from more frequent monitoring like that.
Right.
Yeah. Awesome. There's been a lot of studies with these multi-gas monitors and single gas monitors. There's tons of different monitors in the marketplace, lots of OEMs. In your experience, and I guess maybe just in the recent online monitoring, what's the most crucial gas that you're going to test for in these situations?
So isn't it funny that back when online monitoring first happened, it was actually Hydran that created the hydrogen monitor. Now, it's an old style of monitoring, but they're out there. There are thousands of hydrants that don't work anymore, but they're sitting on all these old transformers, right? They tested hydrogen. Now, the data didn't go anywhere. You had to go and plug in or a little red light went off, so you had to walk around and see it. But that's still the industry standard. Hydrogen is, there are a very few, and I will say this, it does happen, because you're going to get the purist who's going to say, oh, no, you can't say that, Alan. Well, guess what? When you give me that one exception, I'm going to give you the rule. The rule is, whenever there is a really bad gas that you want to worry about, acetylene, ethylene, any methane, any of those, hydrogen is also present. So why wouldn't you take the gas that's always present and test for it as the carrier, as the one that gives you the thing? And then if you see hydrogen increasing, you rush out there and you can take a real test. But I'm sold on it. It's been the industry standard since Hydran did it. And some of the best, including H2Scan, is, in fact, they are probably the best out there at giving us real-time hydrogen data. It's the cat's meow.
Yeah, yeah, and it makes sense, right? Test, just get very, very good and consistent at testing the common denominator. And if that raises, then you know something else is potentially wrong as well, and you can handle that when it goes. Makes perfect sense to me. I love it. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe I heard that you've done studies on single gas monitoring versus multi-gas monitoring.
We brought in, I say we, I was at SD Myers at the time, and about 8 years ago, we set up a whole system and we brought in everybody's monitors with the exception of LumaSense. They wouldn't participate. I don't know why, but guess what? They didn't play. They didn't be part of it. There was no cost. We took all of the cost of this and we ran this thing for 18 months. And we basically created a system where we would spike creating the problem. IEEE has got a huge, and IEC's got it, and they've got a great a gas digest. And it says, if this gas is present in these multiples, this is your problem, which is really brilliant. You want to know if you're arcing, if you want to know if you've got if you've got corona going on, and in fact, it can tell you in many instances where it's doing it, you follow the IEEE guide. So we took that guide and we spiked all of the problems. And then we watched it and we did that over 18 months. And we tested 8 gas, 5 gas, 1 gas monitors. And at that time, a company called Serveron was one of the companies that had a lot of monitors in there. And I'm not sure if you are aware that H2Scan was the hydrogen sensing part of all of the Serveron monitors. I can tell you now, I was not allowed to tell you when I worked for SD Myers, because we promised that we wouldn't say which ones were the best. I still won't, but I will tell you, if I were buying today, I'd make sure that they had an H2Scan monitor in it.
Yes. Yeah. No.
For the best.
That's right. That's right. Especially when you're dealing with something as critical as hydrogen sensing. So, You know, I know that the larger power transformers are targeted for online monitoring. That's pretty common nowadays. The larger ones. But what about these distribution transformers? You know, that you see in subdivisions, and you see, you know. Why haven't it's now 2020, why haven't we been doing online monitoring in the same fashion in those style transformers?
Well, the cost of retrofitting that entire installed base was just, I mean, it's expensive. You got to send somebody out there. How do you get the signal? Blah, 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 the whole nine yards. So I think you see that changing now. The OEMs are installing hydrogen monitors. I think if I were specking, I have a good friend that specs billions of dollars of transformers for First Energy. He would first of all never spec a monitor without an 8-gas. It was a GSU or a huge substation distribution, a transmission monitor. He's gonna spec an 8-gas monitor. But for the entire grid, the cost of an 8-gas monitor is too high. The second part is they wouldn't know what to do with that much data. But if you install hydrogen monitors everywhere, you're now gonna get an early warning system. And remember this, utilities are punished when they shut down a neighborhood. They're punished for microseconds of outage. Well, that's the case, and it's not foliage. And number one problem utilities have is foliage, right? Trees falling on things like that. The number two problem they have is aging. They got all these aging transformers out there. So I think if there were an easy retrofit program, that it would work. But there really hasn't been a good retrofit program. And secondarily, OEMs, when they're buying new, they better be buying with hydrogen sensors in them. I think that's a huge market in the distribution world for H2 scan.
And you've already mentioned that you have some experience with H2 scan's products, which is great. You know, in your opinion, and maybe I want to throw this in there. If you can answer it, great. If you can't, not. In your opinion, with the different monitors that you've used and the experience you have, what sets H2 scan apart from maybe some of the other competitors?
A lead and lag times. One of the problems with hydrogen is it dissipates pretty quickly. So you have to have a monitor that gives you a good lead time. So it'll come on early, and you have to have one that has good lag time that it will continue to monitor. H2 scan had the best lead and lag times. If you give me one, I would be happy. When you give me two, you just can't do any better. That's number one. You know what's number two? I can tell this now, and this is almost, somebody's going to call me after this, but I was walking as an invitee to the Serveron factory out in Portland. And SD Meyers actually bought their monitors to use, their Serveron one gas monitor, right? And so I was walking through as a tour. You know, there's like 11 people. They're all showing me stuff. And I don't want to talk to the marketing people. I want to talk to the scientists. But I really want to talk to the people. But there's yellow lines, and I got a coat on that with that, whatever the color coat, I'm not allowed across the yellow line. You got to just walk where they are. So they're pointing out people, machines, look at all this. This is where we do testing. This is Serveron, right? So I'm walking, and there's a guy, he's about my age. And at that time I was probably 64, 65. So his name tag, blue working shirt. And his name tag said Charlie. So they're all ahead of me trying to move me along. I step across the yellow line and just eyes light up. It's safety. Like, come on, I know what he's doing. So I said, Charlie, you're checking in. What are you checking in? And he said, I'm checking in these 8 hydrogen sensors. And I said, really? Who's the company that provides that? And he said, it's a company called H2 Scan. Now they're all going, oh, crap. He's going to go directly to them, which I did. Okay, I found out who Dennis was, and I said, I got to find out about this company. But here's the second reason. He said, I've been doing this, I guess it was now 5 years. I've been doing this for 5 years. And I said, so tell me, what's their quality like? And he turned and he looked at me and he said, I have never sent one back.
Wow.
That's a wow. And I knew the guy from marketing who's since gone on from Qualitrol and he no longer works for them. John looked. I know what you just did. I know what you're going to do. And yeah, they are the best. And off we go.
That's an amazing story. I love that. That's great. I'm not sure how familiar you are with the latest H2 scan technology, but they've just released what they're calling the Gen 5 sensor. And it's a standalone DGA system for distribution transformers, exactly what we were just talking about. And it's going to be at a price point around $1,500 or less. Given your experience, do you think that's an adequate price point to start working that into these distribution transformers like we were talking about?
Well, when you consider the alternative, that $70,000 for 8 gas monitors, or $10,000, or the average, the $10,000 to $12,000 is where we've been, and you tell me it is 1/10 of that. I mean, you don't have to be a marketing guru to say, I got a new price point in here. If elasticity was a problem, you just blew that wide open. Elasticity isn't the problem. But you've just made it so that now if you were to put this, especially at the OEM level, if there's an OEM making a distribution transformer and they are not installing that kind of a monitor. And I can't really say, hey, just go with HD scan, but my goodness, at $1,500, what is wrong with you? Make it, don't even make it optional, make it standard. And then I can promise you this, the utilities, the co-ops, the munis, all of the people handling distribution, especially DER, distributed energy resources, wind and solar, they depend upon distribution transformers. And they have a problem with all kinds of harmonics and issues. They all ought to be putting this thing on there. I think it also gives us a price point that if I were a contractor, I'd buy it from you for $1,500. I'd mark it up to $5,000, install it for another five, and finally have something instead of 30 grand or 20 grand, under 10 grand installed on an existing base. They should be buying them in boatloads. It's a major development. I know Dennis, I know some of the people there. I know the guys in the lab there that do this have been talking about this. The last time I talked to anybody there, they've been talking about it. And I said all along, I do think, and I do believe this, it's a game changer.
I do too. And you touched on this a little bit, but it just, the minute you start thinking about the potential, especially at that price point, there's absolutely no reason why this shouldn't be in wind farms, solar farms, volt transformer, you name it. Like the capability of something like this is just widespread in so many different markets.
Yeah, I would agree. I think that's what's happening here is we're bringing the price of application of technology. And I said the three things that was, which is interesting. This goes back to what you said. Number one, does it give you the data that you can make decisions on at a really good price point? You just did.
Oh, Alan, this has been great. To wrap this up, and I want to thank you so much for your time and the conversation we've had today.
You got to say one thing, David. I am not being financially remunerated for this. I don't intend to be. If it's a game changer for the electric power industry, I'm all for it. I want my members to understand it, to know it, and to participate. And I do think that the reason I do this is I do believe in what they're doing there. I do believe in the people and the quality and the commitment that they've made. So, this is an unpaid testimonial, but I did stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night.
No, it is important to say that because you're right. We're just talking about technology and industries and products, but I find it really interesting in everything that we just talked about. Yet, I want to kind of bring it back to reality of where we are in as we're recording this, 2020 right now. We're going to have a lot of engineers listening to this. And now that we are in this COVID-19 world we live in, where there's social distancing and remote working and even things like technicians or engineers going out into the field, things have changed. You know, what is your advice for these engineers listening to this right now that are dealing with just a new way of handling asset management? I mean, what are your thoughts on where we are now and the direction that some of these engineers should go?
So there's a, I just did a one of these, and I just did it for a company called CBRE, who manages 850 data centers around the world, okay? For Google, Facebook, the big boys, and for a lot of companies, Eli Lilly, all their plants. So data centers are just being, there's another application right there. I mean, we keep talking utility, but they cannot afford to lose anything. So they every oil field transformer within their system, which by the way, is in the hundreds of thousands, it's a global market, is a market that ought to have one of these on it. And it's chump change to them because they're minting money with data centers. But I do think the biggest thing that's coming, ISO 55000 is the asset management ISO. So there's a whole new, ISO keeps creating these. When they created 9000, we all struggled with it. I know I owned a company and I had to figure out how to implement 9000. I said, only consultants are going to make money. But if you didn't have that up there, right, guess what? Nobody's going to buy your stuff. So I had to do it. We all did it. Everybody's got it. It's not even a big deal anymore. ISO 55000 has not become the standard for asset management. Why? It's because it really is much more complicated. But what's coming out of it is the strategic asset management plan. So as an engineer, whatever you do, you have to make certain that it will align with a strategic asset management plan. And do you know what every one of them, this includes the risk industry, this includes the risk management in companies, this includes the ISO people themselves. You know, one of the things they tout is on your strategic assets, you have to have IoT. You have to have sensors that report data in on a continuous basis. That's exactly what we're talking about here. So if you're that kind of an engineer, get to the future. Because when somebody says, hey, do you have this as part of your strategic asset management plan? You can say, done it, been there, been doing it for 5 years. Look like a hero. Change your world and do it by the IoT thing. So I'm passionate about it because I see what's happening on 55,000. And when it comes, a bunch of consultants are going to come in and ask you, hey, what do you do about your electrical system? And it's not just transformers. This is going to be, what do you do on the other major components of your electrical system? So get with the future.
Yeah. And this whole COVID-19 probably is only just giving people that much more reason to get there now rather than 3 or 4 or 5 years from now.
And see, we still, in many instances, you know what we rely on? A guy in a truck.
Yeah.
We're not in trucks. We can't send guys out. You know,
right.
Hey, data come to you. Change the world through the data coming to you. Make it data you can act on as inexpensively as possible.
Absolutely. I completely agree. Oh, Alan, thank you so much. It's been what a great conversation, and undoubtedly people are going to get some really good knowledge from your experience and your story. So Alan, again, thank you so much for being here.
So give EPRA a plug, myepra.com. We are a nonprofit and we're here to change the world.
Awesome.